tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Roto Experts, alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, the King Scott Angle, and Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman, and I feel like deja vu all over again is how I feel on this fine day. Gentlemen, we spent a couple weeks ago spending basically 3 hours on Ezekiel Elliott. So we're not going to do that again.
No.
We're going to spend a significant period of time on him again. Mr. Executive, you have been very, very bold in saying he's not going to be suspended. He's not going to be suspended. Do you believe he'll be suspended?
I'll believe it in 24 hours when the final thing goes through and it happens. But listen, we got to this point. Really nothing we can do right now. You feel what I'm saying?
No, we're not here.
If you got ideas, if you want to how you can fix this thing, you know the telephone number. Give us a call. We'll talk you through it. I got Ezekiel Elliott in two places. I got Alfred Morris to back him up. As far as I'm concerned, on Sunday, I'm putting Alfred Morris in my lineup. Next man up.
All right, there you go. King, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good this morning.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
You got to turn the microphone
turn
on.
Your microphone on.
You're not doing good unless you got the microphone
on. I got one.
On.
I got one, but I'm the king, so I can get away with it.
Can you?
But,
you've been doing it for years.
Yeah. Well, you're up to four a day, so. but, you know, with the Ezekiel Elliott thing, look, you know, if McFadden and Morris are still on the wire, you got to hit it hard. But you could have never been confident that you knew that he wasn't getting suspended. Nobody knows. I think this is exemplary about how nobody knows how these things play out, because you have one judge who upholds the injunction and the other who won't. We just don't know how it's going to play out because there's still a possibility of an appeal.
There certainly is a possibility of appeal, and I assume so. Matt Modica, if I have this correct, basically the preliminary injunction was again taken away from him, and had to be ruled last night. So he had, and they left it in place for 24 hours for him to appeal to the second court. And the second court was the court that ruled against Tom Brady. So we already know where this is going. I understand. So I don't really know. I mean, you could appeal, but like ultimately, we know how this works out, right? Is that am I understanding that right?
Yeah, it ain't over until it's over, but I think it's over now. So maybe this long-running soap opera has finally come to an end. It's really an unfortunate situation for everything involved. If you think about, you know, the situation, what has warranted this, is it a significant case? But it's a very, you know, it's a very serious issue. So I mean, I think this is the final nail in the coffin. I don't think we see him until week 15. And you're going to have to, hopefully, you planned ahead.
We'll talk more about Ezekiel Elliott, give you the rundown. We'll also get into Monday Night Football. A bunch of trades yesterday, too, and wild day in the NFL. And we still have a good 10 hours before the trade deadline here. So stick around. This is the Roto Experts on a Halloween!
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
All right, fantasy sports radio network.
My hair's in my face.
Your hair is in your face. It's Halloween. We go on YouTube coming up in a little bit. You'll see all of our fantastic costumes here today and throughout the day on the fantasy sports radio network.
We do this all day.
We do.
Oh,
you look great, though.
I got to give advice to the people. I can't be taken serious if I'm like this, Scott.
This is the whole thing. It's Halloween.
I get it, but I can't. I need the listening audience to take me serious.
Corey, you're an entertainer as well as an analyst.
When I'm giving my fantasy analysis, I need the people to take me serious. They can't take me serious. I'm sitting up here with an afro on and hair in my eyes.
Yeah, but you're an entertainer as well as an analyst. People know you because you're very entertaining. So it's good you're getting in the spirit.
There you go. All right, so I've been reading.
What's going to happen, Greg?
Okay.
Give us the legalese, Mr. Sussman.
There you go. So reading about Ezekiel Elliott during the break. And this is according to Mike McCann. He's a lawyer, SI.com. And basically he said that right now there is a 24-hour stay on the... This is disgusting. A 24-hour stay.
Is he alive?
I don't. This is as bad as it's ever been. 24... Is he alive? Now I'm concerned, to be honest with you.
It does look like Mountain Dew.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Finn. Finn Jr. Oh, no. Did you have week 9 in the pool?
Scott's
alive. Hopefully
he's
sleeping. Give him some food, Scott. See,
hey, he's moving.
Oh, he's good.
He's moving. We're good.
No, what we're talking about our fish in the studio, our mascot, Ted Finn Jr., actually he's a beta, but betas are known to, like, just idly rest for a while, so it's nothing to be alarmed about.
If you see this, the color of this water, you would be alone.
Well, that's Mike Florio's fault. Florio keeps dropping
why Florio
the ball.
It's like fish and didn't do nothing.
He's
to
not going
to
do much. Mike lying again. It's not cleaning the bowl.
He think he grown.
Yeah,
Florio's big time. Timing.
Yeah, he think he grown.
We need to. This needs to be changed today. I can't go on the air with this.
I feel you.
Anyway,
they gonna call the people in the chat yesterday. They say it was gonna call PETA on us. They did.
This is not good.
I can't hear.
Yeah. So anyway, here's the deal. So for Ezekiel Elliott, last night, his Judge Faya basically said that Roger Goodell had the right to do this. It's in Article 46, kind of the same thing with Brady within the CBA. Ultimately, they're going to uphold the 6-game suspension, but gave them a chance for a stay for 24 hours. A 24-hour stay to appeal to the Second Circuit Court. Basically, this is the obvious next move for Ezekiel Elliott. He can petition the court for an emergency hearing in order to review this previous judge's order. They can then ask the second court for a stay, which, of course, will allow Judge Faya's ruling not to take effect immediately. They would argue that, hey, if you don't grant the stay, Ezekiel Elliott would suffer irreparable harm that money cannot fix, once he starts missing games. McCann predicts that this is unlikely to work because his situation for the Second Circuit is just obviously not extremely important in real life. There is no deportation involved. There's no jail involved. It's a suspension in the NFL from work. Ultimately, emergency hearings are not granted unless it's truly a real emergency.
It is an emergency.
It's a fantasy football emergency.
It is a it's an NFL emergency, too.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous, but it is what it is. You know what? This is how they let Roger Goodell run the situation, so Players Association got to do a better job of fixing this moving forward.
CBA. Yeah.
The next CBA. They have to. They can't let this man do. And he should, and I want him gone.
So in regard, so I'll talk about that in a couple of moments. But secondly, this again comes from Mike McCann out of SI. Ultimately, if Elliott was granted to stay, he needs to show irreparable harm to the judge. And Judge Faya categorically, this is a quote, categorically rejected this possibility in her order just a few hours ago, saying, quote, future economic injuries such as lost profits are compensable
yeah,
through monetary awards. And any individual honors that Elliott might attain absent suspension depend on countless variables, such as the Cowboys' overall offensive performance, his opponent's defensive performance, and Elliott's health. That together renders this alleged harm far too speculative to justify injunctive relief. As for damage to Elliott's reputation, cases in this circuit require a more concrete economic impact than mere negative publicity to constitute irreparable harm.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, because like,
but what that's his reputation.
Yeah, but what if he gets bonuses for like making the Pro Bowl, MVP, that?
Sound like they're saying he'd be all right. He'll live. You feel
yeah,
that
he's
money
like
was,
it yeah. depends on the offense and the defense.
Yeah, they like,
you know, it's
but it's the reputation part that's not that's not right.
I don't think they're concerned about that. You
but
know,
why wouldn't they be?
They're not, you know. It's
corporate.
It's the judicial system. They take emotion out of it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know. But all along, you knew
but
if you drafted
somebody's reputation.
Yeah,
that's
but
not
the,
an
but
emotion.
The court. Look, you care about that, and I may care about that, but the court
Ezekiel
doesn't care
about
that.
About that too.
Yeah, but the judge doesn't. They're supposed to look at it
like,
objectively and take all of that out of it.
So you letting him be called a batterer? Does not.
that they feel like that's on him. You know, the, again, all emotion is going to be taken out of this. You know, it's trying to look at it objectively. And the other thing is, look, if you drafted Ezekiel Elliott, you knew it was going to be a roller coaster all along. You know, you can't predict how things go with legal systems. Obviously, one judge is different than the other. So, you know, I have two shares of Ezekiel Elliott, and I'm taking it on a week-to-week basis.
So, again, from what I see, the most obvious scenario, Corey, I'm sorry to say, is that he's going to be suspended starting this Sunday. So that's week 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. That's 6 weeks. He'll return in week 15. So Dallas does make the playoffs. He'll be there for them. Fantasy playoff-wise, he would miss 1 week. So he'd miss your entire stretch run, miss 1 week, and then be back for the semis and the finals.
Well, you're hoping in your fantasy league you're doing well enough right now that you'll earn a bye that first week if you have Elliott, and then, boom, you get him there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the ideal scenario, no doubt.
Yeah, but, you know, a couple of weeks ago when he had a chance to get suspended, maybe that would have been the ideal time. But he's put up a couple of big games, so that's helped you. But we've all known this was a possibility. I was a little surprised, though. I thought that it wouldn't happen now, but it did. So, you know, this was something that you had. It wasn't like you didn't have time to prepare for this, or this wasn't something on the horizon. So it is what it is, and now you got to move on.
Yeah, you know, you're going to have to move on. Whether that's Darren McFadden, whether that's Alfred Morris, depends who's available in your league, if either are available in your league. As I look at Yahoo, ownership percentage right now, I'll start with Morris. Alfred Morris currently is available in 60% of leagues.
Unreal. That's crazy that he's available in 60% of leagues. And this has been the longest going saga besides Andrew Luck all season, and the dude is still sitting on waiver wire.
Darren McFadden is available in 65% of leagues.
So 40, I'm floored.
40 and 35% of fantasy owners are prepared for this.
60%
yeah,
or not.
But I mean, I get it. People were, you know, after the last couple of weeks, like, he's not going to get suspended.
True. All right.
They were, you know, it's like injury optimism. This was kind of suspension optimism. And so if you have the number one waiver wire, you're using that. Or if you got money, you're gonna blow some now.
You know when we turn the cameras on.
Yeah, I guess that's
look,
right.
Look, it's a thing of what was your roster construction? Do you have enough depth to roster these guys, especially with two weeks of six byes? You know, I wasn't able to keep both Morris and McFadden in the two leagues where I have shares of them. One league I'm 6-2, and I have McFadden, and the other league I'm 5-3, and I have Morris. So, you know, but one of them is the NFFC cut line where you have a deep bench, and the other one, I just feel like, you know, like it's something I just had to do. I at least had to keep McFadden.
No,
I told you about that when you said you were going to do that.
I told you that wasn't a good idea.
Yeah, but, you know, right now I'd like to have both of them again, though. So,
but we don't know if it's an idea.
You didn't have the roster real estate. You didn't have the roster real estate, but you know what? When we talked about it, you had to look at it a different lens because he could have suspended would have known within a few days span, so I would have liked to have both. When I know he wasn't getting suspended, then I cut one.
It's actually crazy because right now, in order to roster both, I don't know how you do it, in all honesty. You have six buys this week. It is going to be very, very tough to hold on to both these guys. So Matt, if you can't do it, if you know you literally need the space for starters and you have these guys on your bench that have bye weeks, you have both out there and they're available in about 60% of leagues, both of them. They're both out there. Which one are you picking up?
I mean, Alfred Morris has been active. He's looked pretty good at times, but I'm going to go for the upside. I'm going to go for McFadden. I'm going to go for the theory that they kept him on ice for this particular thing. If you're playing the PPR, you want the pass catching back anyway. So I'm going to go that route. But, I mean, it's pretty much a coin flip. Who knows? Maybe it's Rod Smith that winds up emerging.
I'm going to end up putting a dollar on Rod Smith, too.
Yeah, especially in deeper leagues, mm-hmm. You know, like expert leagues, you know, big money leagues, stuff like that. You know, and I'm with Matt because you know, I believe, you know, they've kept him in mothballs until now. A lot of the published reports I've been following it, you know, like in the Dallas, you know, digital areas and stuff like that, you know, they said they wanted Morris to remain in the backup role. There was some speculation of that, but you know you've seen Rod Smith show a little bit of burst and explosion. You know, for all we know, this could become a three-man committee because, like I've said it before, Ezekiel Elliott is a superstar, and a lot of time when a superstar goes down to an injury for whatever reason, it takes more than one running back to basically replace him.
Take a break. More next on the Roto Experts.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
So there you go. That's the latest on Ezekiel Elliott. The four of us finally, Corey included, I believe, expect him to be suspended this Sunday moving forward. Is it fair to say?
We'll see in the next 24 hours.
All right. You're still,
still holding on.
Is it still the denial phase? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go. Hopefully you prepare.
What are you laughing at, Scott?
What?
What are you laughing at?
Oh.
Why are you always starting trouble?
I'm not starting trouble. You need to.
What are you laughing at?
I think it's funny. He said a funny joke. Just like when you laugh for like 100 decibels for 30 minutes when he says something funny, you know, regarding me.
I take your crown off your head, son.
Yeah?
Yep.
I'll drape that afro over your eyes and then beat you.
Whoa.
Yeah. Anyway, the Ezekiel Elliott's story is what it is. Corey is right. Over the next 24 hours, we will officially find out the deal. But assume with waivers running tonight, if you don't hear anything, assume he will not play on Sunday. That means Darren McFadden. That means Alfred Morris. Make sure neither are available in your league. If they are, pick them up. And Rod Smith, Don McHoller.
Yeah.
And that means the fantasy landscape has changed because, you know, teams that had Elliott was playing great.
Yes, he was.
I don't think either one of these two guys is coming in and putting up the numbers that Elliott was doing. So teams that, say, had Elliott and were maybe at the upper echelon of the league might be coming back to the pack.
Yeah, it depends on what the balance is, too, of that team and what you've done, you know, basically to build your depth. And, you know, our friend Dom from Queens tweets at us that his money's on McFadden to become the full-time back. I just don't see it, not at this point in his career. Like I said, it takes more than one running back to replace a guy like Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, it certainly does.
Yeah.
So more on that. We'll get back to that a little bit later on in the program. But let's talk about last night's Monday Night Football game between the Chiefs and the Broncos. One, the Chiefs won 29-19. Your boy Alex Smith, 200 yards, a touchdown. And it was clear, by the way, he had that choice between Alex Smith and Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson was the choice. Not Alex Smith here against a Denver team he knows very well. No interceptions, which was good, but just one touchdown against Denver's vaunted pass defense of the no-fly zone. For the first time in his career, Kareem Hunt does not go over 100 total yards here against Denver. This was officially the Travis Kelce show. 7 catches, 133 yards, and 1 touchdown.
What was crazy was that the Kansas City Chiefs kept the Broncos in this game in the first
half.
That play call
Tyreek
Hill was horrendous. I mean, you got Hunt. You have so many other options. You got Kelce. And to do a play like that when you're dominating this team and you could have just put the game away. But man, I guess it made viewing more fun.
Watching Smith last night, obviously, you didn't expect the numbers to be great against this defense. And we talked about the new era of quarterback with Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson. Alex Smith, who's kind of opened things up, is not quite as talented as those guys, but I believe when the matchup is right and the numbers have shown it, that he can be that type of quarterback where he's willing to gun it downfield and he also has some mobility. So he's a lesser guy in that sort of mold. As far as, you know, you Hunt, like, look, not every player is going to explode every week, and you know, the Broncos really sold out to stop him, and they felt that they could, you know, with the way that they matched up.
Yeah, the Broncos have yet to allow a rushing touchdown on the year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, did not allow into the Giants?
I believe not.
Okay.
No.
All right, maybe so.
Dak had a lot of yardage, but okay. I don't think he got in the end zone. The last team I can recall not allowing a touchdown so deep into the season, I think the 49ers in 2013 didn't allow a rushing touchdown for about 15 weeks.
Fair enough. So let me then... I'm not worried about that. Again, not worried about Kareem Hunt and doing anything. Good to see Travis Kelce step up. I know he left this game. I think retaped, I believe, around the second or third quarter. Came back. It was just a dominating performance from him. And it was smart by the Chiefs. Use this tight end. Use that middle of the field because you're not going to be able to do anything against Chris Harris and Keith Tlaib. Certainly not with these wide receivers.
That matchup was just too good. I mean, he was open all game.
All night.
And he was open on that third down play. It was just Smith couldn't get him the ball. Smith, you know, he got around. When he had to make plays and get those first downs, he was able to do it. And, you know, the score really, this game was not as close as the score indicated.
No, not at all. You had the touchdown at the end of the game, which meant nothing to A.J. Derby, except for your A.J. Derby owners. And Corey, I know a big story for Kansas City was the butt kicker last night.
Yeah, the butt kicker kicked my butt last night. He put up 21 fantasy points. He walked me down. So shout out to John Paff. He got a big W. Thanks to butt kicker and thanks to Tyreek Hill getting 3 fantasy points.
Yeah, you know, I've been talking a lot about how you got to pay attention to the kickers, and here's another example of it. Along with Matt Prater this week, I had one league where you know, my skill position players didn't produce up to par, and then I got 20 points from my kicker and 21 from my defense. You know, that's 41 points right there. It can save your day.
5 for 5 on field goals with Bucker last night, including a 50-yarder. So it's a ton of points. As Corey mentioned, 21 points against him, and that cost him a win.
Cost me a W. So there you go right there. 5-game winning streak down the drain thanks to a kicker.
That's kind of how it works.
5-game winning streak, so impressive.
Yeah,
right?
Bucker's been great. He missed his first field goal. He's got like 18 in a row or something crazy like that. I mean, I got him on a couple teams, so I'm happy about that.
He's been fantastic.
Hey, Matt's like, he didn't beat me last night.
Let's go to the other side of things here, guys. Let's talk about the Denver Broncos for a moment.
Oh,
in particular, let's start at the quarterback position. There's a lot to unravel here when it comes to the Broncos, in my opinion. So let's, as I said, let's start with Trevor Siemian. Siemian was 19 of 36, a touchdown, 3 interceptions. Of course, the touchdown, as I mentioned, comes in garbage time to A.J. Derby. Throws just under 200 yards passing. And from what I'm reading on Twitter this morning, everyone's seemingly shocked that he did not get benched last night. Vance Joseph did not commit to him starting next week. He did say the reason he didn't pull him last night was because he's our quarterback. He practiced all week. He earned it. But again, did not commit to starting Trevor Siemian next week. The options behind Siemian include Brock Osweiler and former first rounder Paxton Lynch. Lynch returned to practice last week. It's anybody's guess who will start in Denver next week. But Corey, Trevor Siemian, your boy.
This is interesting because he's struggling. But the thing is, he's struggling because this is what it has been. Up until last night, he was struggling because they weren't running the football effectively. But yesterday, they ran the football effectively, and he still was struggling. You feel what I'm saying? So it's like, all right, wait a minute, Trevor Siemian. Why are you regressing at this point in the season? I can understand how the running game is a big piece of it. You know what I'm saying? And he plays better when the run is playing better. C.J. Anderson carried the ball 15 times last night for 78 yards. C.J. Anderson looked fine. Booker carried the ball well. Even Jamaal Charles carried the ball well last night. So this offense, I mean, this situation with Siemian is looking dire right now. I do not think he loses his gig, though.
Yeah, I don't think he loses the gig, but I'll say this. That offensive line that they beefed up and paid money for and stuff doesn't look too good. At least passing-wise, they did. You know, he was under duress. He was getting whacked around a bit. I mean, it wasn't like he was just sitting back there and he had time, or this running game was setting up the pass so well. And not having Manny Sanders is a big difference. I believe for at least Siemian. That's one of his favorite targets. That's a big piece of this Bronco offense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but, you know, with Siemian, you know, after 2 games, you know, was this guy an every week fantasy start? Over his last 5 games, he's got 3 touchdowns and interceptions, and that's even with Emmanuel Sanders there. So, you know, I think a lot of that's on Siemian, too. The decision-making is very questionable. You know, he's sailing passes high and things like that. You know, this guy just, you know, over the last 5 games, just doesn't look like a starting quarterback in the NFL. All these other factors are a part of it, but there's a lot on him too. You know, so
what's the alternatives? Osweiler, Lynch.
When Lynch is healthy, I think they're gonna have to give him a crack.
I think that's
why they drafted the guy.
Yeah, I agree with Scotty. I think you're gonna give Paxton Lynch a shot.
That's gonna be terrible.
You gotta see if this guy has a shot to be anything. You know,
look, he didn't look good last year. But, you know, he has had some time to sit back and watch. It's an old-school kind of mentality, though, because, you know, a lot of times the rookie quarterback, if they're ready, and sometimes even if they're not, they'll just stick him in there. You know, it's an old-school adage to, like, let the guy sit on the sideline and learn. But the way Lynch played, he didn't have a choice. hopefully, you know, you can't just think that he's the same quarterback that he was last year when he's played. You know, maybe the time to sit back and evaluate, you know, can lead to some optimism, because it can't be much worse than Simeon is right now.
So this is where I'm at, Scotty. You bring up the point, and you talked about it a couple moments ago. You bring up the point that it's an old school mentality. You sit and watch the guy behind you, the guy in front of you. But you're right in your point in that, listen, he wasn't given a choice because he had an opportunity to win the job and he lost. He failed. When they wanted him to go out and win this job last year, it didn't happen. They wanted him to go out and win the job this year. It didn't happen. And the only reason he's on the bench is because he's been hurt.
Right.
It's not like they're like when Aaron Rodgers with you and you'll sit and you'll learn. He failed to earn this job. I don't know if there's light at the end of the tunnel with Paxton Lynch.
They had said in, you know, minicamp, preseason, that Simeon just outplayed him on every level.
Correct.
Every opportunity. They gave him, as you said, every opportunity. They wanted him to really win this job, and he could not. So now all of a sudden he's going to step in and, you know,
coming off an injury.
Yeah. Form he never had.
Yeah.
And this is exemplary of what the quarterback situation is in the entire league. You got the trade deadline at 4 p.m. Eastern. You think John Elway would want to trade for a quarterback, but who are they going to trade for? There's really nobody out there.
He could sign Brian Hoyer.
Sign Brian Hoyer. We'll talk about that coming up on YouTube Live around
what's out there.
7:10 a.m. Eastern time. You know, I don't think John Elway goes out and signs a quarterback because they need to see what they have at Paxton Lynch. They have to find out if Paxton Lynch is going to be the answer. Otherwise, in the offseason, they're going to have to reevaluate.
Paxton Lynch is trash.
I don't think you can wait. I think this defense is a really good defense. And if you put Paxton Lynch in, you can't, like, experiment any longer. You really need to start winning games.
You're saying this is the window. This is it.
I think so.
But the
problem is, and maybe the window is this it, you know, that you look at Minnesota and, you know, Jacksonville, teams with good defenses too, and, you know, they could use a quarterback upgrade.
Yeah, a lot of teams obviously can use quarterback upgrades. The story of the National Football League. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. We'll analyze the running game from Denver last night, which Corey said was actually relatively effective. We'll explain what we think we see going forward coming up next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
So the running game in Denver, it's kind of been what it is all year. It hasn't been good. Last night, C.J. Anderson, Matt, looked really as good as he has kind of all year, right? Like, C.J. Anderson rushed 15 times for 78 yards. And they ran the ball a lot because of their ineptitude at quarterback. C.J. Anderson rushed the ball 15 times, as I mentioned, for 78 yards. In his return to Kansas City, Jamal Charles rushed 8 times for 39 yards, fumbled, and that kind of was the end of Jamal Charles. Devontae Booker rushed 6 times, the least of all three, but had 40 yards and the touchdown in the second half. What did you see? How do you break it down?
It looks like Devontae Booker is the new goal line back. I mean, I don't know. You got three running backs here. And look, C.J. Anderson got 78 yards. If I can, I'm moving him this week. If somebody's interested in that, they like what they saw, you can have him. If you have Booker on your bench, there might be an opportunity. Look, and this bye week's coming up and all that.
I had to start him this week, Matt.
Did you?
I have to this week coming up.
Yeah, look, hey, if he's going to get the goal line carries, I don't know what's going on here. You got three running backs. When you have three running backs, you have zero running backs.
Yeah, nah, I feel you. That's the case. I got to start him this week. In one of my leagues this week, I got to start Andre Ellington and Devontae Booker. So I might take a zero at running back. You know what I'm saying?
You probably could find something better than Ellington out there.
There's nothing on the waiver wire. Would you start Rod Smith over Ellington?
Probably. Yeah. I just feel like with Drew Stanton there, it's just like there's nothing happening.
Oh, yeah, no, but I'm going to start out on the Ellington.
Yeah, I would.
I mean, can you pick up, like, can you pick up a J.D. McKissick?
Eight passes or something.
What am I going to pick up J.D. McKissick for?
He's involved in the passing game.
Andre Ellington is the passing back.
Well, he hasn't been for the last few weeks, and now you got Drew Stanton.
Well, he was hurt. He missed the game.
He missed the game. One game was the AP game, and had a bye.
Yeah, but when he was in here getting the numbers, it was Carson Palmer at quarterback, and John Brown was also hurt.
Well, I understand Carson Palmer was a quarterback, but now Drew Stanton probably can't throw it at anybody else. He's going to dump it off to Andre Ellington theoretically all game.
He just might get continually sacked, but... Yeah, I guess you can compare the two if you'd like to, but they split J.D. McKissick out, you know, at wide receiver, and I think he's going to get more of an increasing role. And Emory Hunt and I were talking about it this Sunday. He feels like McKissick is the best running back in Seattle, so I think there's deep sleeper appeal there if you're desperate. But
I made a mistake right quick.
As far as the running back situation in Denver goes, though, I think it's evolving into a committee. Where Booker's going to have a role, but eventually it might morph to like an Alex Collins kind of thing where, you know, where Corey's prediction comes true and Devontae Booker morphs into the running back with the most versatility and the lead guy because C.J. Anderson just doesn't challenge defenses like he should, and Jamaal Charles still has some quickness, but he's a change of pace back.
It's not even that. This is not Devontae Booker. I would have to start Andre Ellington and Deonta Foreman.
You can't start Deonta Foreman.
Foreman's not even rosterable
anymore.
What is
the real story about what happened to Foreman last week? Because the coaches are saying it. He came out and said it wasn't because he left practice and all that because of the owner's
statement. Yeah, everyone said it was not. It had nothing to do with that. Because DeAndre Hopkins went nuts, so I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think Alfred Blue just passed him.
But why? I mean, I don't see why. He hasn't been used a ton, but when he's been in there, and especially the week before, he had a nice big run. I mean, he's the kind of guy, I think, with the short yardage, I think he's shown he's better than Alfred Blue.
I agree.
I guess maybe it's that veteran thing, you know.
I'm certainly not disagreeing with any of that. Ultimately, when it comes to Denver, this week there's 6 byes. My question is, Matt, is Devontae Booker startable?
If you had to put him out there, you're going to take the shot that he gets in the end zone. And, I mean, do you want to? No. Optimally, if that's not what you want to do. I didn't want to start Travis Benjamin this week. I did like the matchup and all that, but I liked the matchup a couple of weeks ago and he got me 0 points.
Sure.
And this week he got me like 17, 18 points. So you're going to be put in situations, unless you play in a shallow league, then you won't have these problems. But if you play in a 12-team competitive league, the waiver wire is going to be pretty barren.
Yeah, he says optimally you don't want to, but, you know, these 2 weeks, the word optimal does not apply at all. And I would start Devontae Booker because we've seen they will throw him out ball out of the backfield. You know, Jamaal Charles is no longer a pass-catching threat, and C.J. Anderson never has been. So, you know, that's something you got to consider. He could have 4 catches for 20, 30 yards is 6-7 points right there. And what if he gets in the end zone, too?
He's an option. He's a play this week. I mean, you don't want to do it. You don't feel comfortable about it because you don't know what the workload is going to be. But with all these buys we got going on this week, I think the young man is a play.
Yeah, comfortable
and
optimal.
He catches the football, and then he's their best goal line runner, too.
Yeah, what comfortable and optimal are not two words for these 2 weeks.
This is a big game for the Broncos. You know, they're, what, 3-4 now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're going to Philadelphia.
Oh, they need to get a win.
And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if they come out with a win somehow, some way.
Yeah, me neither. I agree.
I'm just saying it because this is still a really good defense. If they get Sanders back, when we see it consistently in this day and age in the NFL, when the team is back against the wall, everything going against them, they're going to rally. This defense is pissed off. You know, they feel like it's a better unit. And I think they got to stick with Simeon. I think they got to go with him, get the running game going. The defense needs to step up. This is going to be an interesting game, a game I'm going to look forward to seeing.
I have great points because I've always said, Matt, that like football is a game of emotion, you know, more than any other sport. You know, it's that intangible factor.
You just were talking about emotion a minute ago.
It's just an intangible factor, but it has nothing to do with the court. You know, those are two different things. You know, in a court of law, they don't take emotion into it. Football is a game of emotion. It's a totally different thing. They have no relation to each other whatsoever. But, you know, if you football's, he's right. You know, they'll close the doors to the locker room. You know, they'll have the rally
have
speech.
A players only meeting.
Except, players only meeting, exactly. And, you know, they'll make some adjustments. You know, everybody's talking against Simeon. He can come out of a good game. And, you know, this is, when does Carson Wentz face a defense like this year?
Scott, you ever sneak into a players only meeting?
So, you know, I believe that, you know, I agree with Matt, you know.
You ever been in a players only meeting, Scott? You ever sneak in players
ever,
only
meeting? You ever tried to act mature?
No, Scott, it's a serious question. Have you ever snuck into a players only meeting when you in your days in the clubhouse?
Corey, I love you, but that's a very, how should I say, silly question.
No?
Yeah.
I thought maybe you had,
it's
like
players only, Corey.
Would you rather, Matt, would you rather start Devontae Booker or Andre Ellington this week?
I think I might go with Ellington for the fact that I think Stanton's going to have to, he's going to be looking to
dump it off. Yeah.
I mean, I understand the Adrian Peterson, he came in there. When Adrian Peterson played that first game, it was the perfect game script. They got up 24-0 like that. He was, say, revitalized for, you know, he was pumped up.
Yeah.
He had a great game. Second game, not so much.
Sure.
And look, I don't care if John Brown's playing, Jaron Brown's playing, all these guys. Drew Stanton is Drew Stanton.
Yeah.
And one of the things he's going to look to do is see if Larry Fitzgerald is open. And if not, he's probably going to turn to the second option, which would be Andre Ellington. That's the way I see it. If you're playing in a PPR, he's going to at least give you a chance.
I'm going to go with Booker because, you know, Matt could very well be right on this the way he explained it. But I feel like Booker will run the ball more often and definitely has a better chance to get in the end zone.
Yes, I agree. He has a chance to get in the end zone. Yes, I agree. He's going to run the ball more often. But what's the maximum of carries you're getting from a
Devontae? Oh, another reason why I'm going to start Andre Ellington.
Sure.
Arizona was at San Francisco. So, yeah. I mean, that matchup alone right there to me sets up nice for a pass catching running back.
All good points, but I feel like Booker's the goal line back.
Look, if I got to roll out Booker, I'm going to roll him out.
And to your point, you know,
you're hoping for that. I mean, it's really got to be touchdown dependent for the most part. Unless, because we look, you got a three-headed monster there. You got two-headed monster, but at least Ellington has a defined role. He is the pass catching back there. We know that, and I don't see Peterson just getting all the carries.
Well, that's the
here's the thing, though. With Peterson, I'm sorry, Greg. With Peterson, though, it could be a script where, you know, they just handed the ball off to him constantly because he can really run against this defense. We saw a really good game from him in his debut in Arizona. You know, how many pass catches we, like, Ellington would have that role maybe if it was a different matchup, but the game script could point to a lot of Adrian Peterson and schematically take the pressure off the quarterback no matter who they're facing.
That's a lot of Adrian Peterson's a bad idea, though.
Well, against the 49ers,
look,
though.
If Peterson does have this game against San Francisco, that's when, if you still have him, I'm looking to ship him out right after that.
Extremely quickly. But Scott's right. I mean, the game script... Because it is San Francisco, you may be able to just get by handing off to Adrian Peterson. The reason, and Matt kind of pointed out for me, the reason that I liked Ellington more was simply two guys versus three guys, and I get what Ellington's role is. Devontae Booker, yes, last night was the red zone guy. Yes, last night got some extra work. I can't guarantee that week to week. That's what scared me off. Corey, same question goes to you. Would you rather start Andre Ellington or Devontae Booker in week 9?
I think I'll go Devontae Booker because he's also probably get a chance to get some work running the football.
Sure.
Maybe he get that goal line carry, catch a couple balls. I think he just might be a little bit more involved, and I don't like the backup quarterback situation, so I would give him the slight edge over Ellington.
Slight edge. Let me throw another name out there for you, because in all honesty, it affects me in my league.
That's fine. We do that a lot here.
I'm just being honest with people.
We're friends.
Yeah, we are. So, Scott, those two guys, Ellington, Booker, and what about DeAndre Washington for Oakland?
Yeah, you can do that.
You can do that, but you know he's very, very dependent on goal line carries. Whereas
he's not getting a goal line carry. Marshawn Lynch back.
What's that? Oh, I'm thinking Dwayne. I'm sorry, DeAndre Washington. Yeah, with Lynch back, I don't think it's a factor.
No, not Dwayne,
at all.
Scott. Nobody's playing him.
I think it's, you know, he's not a factor with Lynch back at all. I would easily start Ellington or Booker over him.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd go the other two, but I mean, you're just rolling the dice, hoping for the best.
Correct. That's exactly what you might have to do. I'm with you guys in week 8. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about Denver, including the passing game, Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, and more. This is the Roto Experts here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's crazy. You wake up on a Tuesday here, and you're looking at the matches from last night. Not just your match, because you know how yours ended, but you're looking at the rest of the league and see how it wound up. This poor dude, man. So, the guy was undefeated in my league with Tyreek Hill last night facing the Kansas City D and Kareem Hunt, and he survived Kareem Hunt. He just couldn't survive KCD.
Yeah.
And wound up losing by 3 points for his first loss of the year. Wow. That was wild, to be honest with you. So that's pretty cool in my league. Speaking of the wide receivers, and speaking of last night in particular, you had Demaryius Thomas, and you had no Emmanuel Sanders. You had Benny Fowler go last night. So ultimately, Demaryius Thomas had a cake matchup. It wasn't matched up against Marcus Peters. He was matched up against the other quarterback that kind of sucks.
Didn't early in the game they had him on Peters' side and then they finally moved him?
Is that
yeah.
what it was?
Yeah, I believe that happened.
Okay.
So, I mean, even Gruden pointed that out. He was like, why is he on Peters' side? He doesn't move.
Just go to the
and then
side.
They started moving around. And didn't Benny Fowler drop a touchdown?
Yeah.
So all those
He had two drops, like the one on the touchdown and also one on like a key third down.
2 for 35 for Benny Fowler, 5 for 66 for Demaryius Thomas. I feel like this is Thomas' best game in a while. This is what it feels like.
Of course, he didn't get in the end zone again. This is the kind of lines that you're getting from Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah.
And as far as Emmanuel Sanders, you know, I talked about it takes, you know, sometimes two guys to replace another player. You know, you had a combination of Cody Latimer and Benny Fowler trying to step up for Emmanuel Sanders.
I think it was mainly Benny Fowler that stepped up.
Yeah, Latimer got some looks, too.
I think it's 13 games now for Demaryius Thomas without a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, so after this next Sunday, if he doesn't score this Sunday, it'll be a year.
A full year.
It'll be a full year since Demaryius Thomas scored a touchdown if he does not score this Sunday in Philadelphia.
That used to be the big thing about Demaryius Thomas. Like, Corey would constantly talk about it, too. You know, like, when he had better quarterbacking about, you know, how he took the bubble screen and took off. But also, you know, it was big. Like, touchdowns used to be big for Demaryius Thomas back in his fantasy prime, and the touchdowns have constantly been going down and down and fading more and more every year.
Yeah, you know, it's been a problem with Demaryius Thomas. You were the low guy on DT all year long. All summer long, I should say, Scotty. And whether it's Trevor Siemian, whether it's the decline in DT, you're right.
What's interesting in draft season, two players that were kind of going side by side a lot were Demaryius Thomas and DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
And the difference between those two in your fantasy fate.
Ain't that true? Ain't that true? And it's amazing to look back at your draft and see that. I was very off of DeAndre Hopkins, like an idiot this year. I was off Hopkins. I was off Allen Robinson. Obviously, the Robinson thing worked out because he got hurt. DeAndre Hopkins, well, I had it. Oh, God. I took Dalvin Cook as somebody else right after me took DeAndre Hopkins.
But, I mean, Dalvin Cook was not a bad pick.
No.
It was just unfortunate with injury. What would bother you is if you took, say, a Jordan Howard, who's been good, or even a Jay Ajayi over Todd Gurley in the season Gurley's had. If you want to look at on the running back situation side.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. I'm actually looking. I took, in the fourth round in this particular league, I took Joe Mixon as my running back. We'll get to him tomorrow in a little either or. I think Joe Mixon, the next running back off the board, came very a while later. I mean, it was talking about Montgomery, who'd gotten hurt. It was a couple picks later, so whatever. C.J. Anderson, whatever. Bilal Powell, whatever. And then here it was, the second to last pick of that fifth round was Mark Ingram.
Mark Ingram, that was the one. This guy got in fifth round. I mean, him and Hyde were guys that I was targeting. The Hyde situation is getting really muddled, but
yeah,
there's hope though. There is a little bit shred of optimism now. I had a new column up on rotoexperts.com, Scott Ingles roster rundown, part of your exclusive Edge in-season fantasy football package. Enter free radio checkout for a special discount. It's an all-time slash price. But I talked about Carlos Hyde and you know how you have to bench him right now. But you know, with Garoppolo, it's a thing of, you know, maybe it's an improvement. It helps the offense.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about Jimmy Garoppolo coming up in a little bit, as there was one of two major trades yesterday around the NFL. 1 hour down, 2 more to go. Next on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.